Our second reading today is a change. It's listed in your bulletin from the book of Acts, but we're actually going to the book of Numbers. The pew Bible I have in that chair is page 116. That should be close if you want to follow in the pew Bible. We do have it on the screen. This is from the 13th chapter of Numbers, reading 26 to 33, and then verses 5 through 9 in the 14th verse. So listen to these words and listen in them for what God might say to us today through them. So the context here, the people of Israel are on the borders of the promised land. They've sent spies over to check things out, and the spies have come back to report on what they see. So they, the spies, came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them the whole assembly. They showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land that into which you sent us, and it flows with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and large. We saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb, one of the spies, silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go take the possession of this land. We can certainly do it." But the other men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a false report about the land they explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those who try to live in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw even the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers to them and to us." Then, continuing the story, the people get word of this, and they have a gathering. We pick up the story in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole community. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. And they said to the Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us to that land, a land that flows with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people. We will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid." The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, in these moments, as we seek truth in your word, speak to us of things we do not yet know and things we know but have forgotten. Share with us what we need to know to serve you faithfully in Christ. For it's in him that we pray. Amen. This season of graduation has a personal point of contact for the Loveall family. Yesterday we were at Northwestern College for the graduation of our daughter Bailey and son-in-law Peter. I'm still getting used to saying all of those things, son-in-law and graduates, college graduates. As we were there, sitting through, listening to the speakers and things, I had a moment where a sermon began to come to me. In fact, I borrowed a pen from Jane and began scratching notes. It generally doesn't work that way. Most of the time, sermons are kind of a battle to get them figured out. But once in a while, once in a great while, I wish it happened more often, they just sort of show up all the way formed and they kind of write themselves. Well, that was the experience I had yesterday. The only problem was it wasn't the sermon I was working on for this morning, which wasn't going particularly well, and I'm not sure this one will either, but I think it's an improvement on what I was going to offer. Well, the text that came to mind was one of my favorites, which makes a few people who know me laugh, because in a Bible study not long ago, someone pointed out, "You know, you say that all the time. You have about 100 favorite Bible verses."
And that's true. The reality is, though, what I have is a short memory and a little bit of the ADD. And so rather than a particular favorite, I have favorites that sort of work their way to the top. Well, this text from Numbers, I will say, has spent considerable time near the top for many years. In fact, one of my early sermons here, not that I would expect anybody to remember, was on this text. The Israelites are on the border of the Promised Land. They left Egypt. God led them through the desert, takes them to the borders of the land of Canaan, and they're getting ready to go in, but they're afraid. It's a scary time. They're not sure that they're ready. Our graduates, those with us this morning, may know the feeling. Excited, but scared. Glad to be done. A little nervous for what comes next, college or job or military or whatever that is. Well, at God's instruction, Moses takes a man from each tribe, 12 spies, and sends them to check out the land. Come back and tell us what it's like. And they come back and they say it's good, but there are cities there and people and walls. It's too hard. And graduates, and those who are listening in, here's lesson number one. There is a significant difference between problem identifiers and problem solvers. Problem identifiers tell you things that are wrong that you probably already know, but they are no help fixing them. And while you need one or two problem identifiers around, there are thousands of them out there. The ratio is very heavily weighted. And you need to be careful of them, and I would say we all need to be careful not to be one of them. Many of you know, my brother also serves a Presbyterian church. Talked to him this week. They were setting up something in the church. A woman came in. She'd been outside on the church grounds. She came into his office and said, "Pastor, there's a dead robin on the sidewalk outside." He says, "What?" She said, "Yeah, there's a dead bird outside. Somebody needs to move it." So, in that other duties as required part of your job description, my brother went out, picked up the dead bird, threw it over in the bushes. But this woman went out of her way from outside to inside to the office to tell my brother that there was a dead bird that needed moved and she had no intention of moving it. She identified a problem but didn't fix it. Identifiers are not my job kind of people. They criticize, but they don't volunteer. They complain, but they don't offer much help. People sometimes say, you know, when I hear a sermon, I just want a practical takeaway. I just want something to take with me. Well, here it is. Move the dead bird. See a dead bird on the sidewalk? Get rid of it. At least kick it over into the bushes. Be a problem solver. The world has too many problem identifiers and too few problem solvers. Grads, as you move closer to adulthood, as you take one more step toward whatever that looks like for you, give serious thought to which side you plan to join. The identifiers or the solvers? 10 of the spies are identifiers. Two of them, Caleb first and then Joshua later with him, have what the Bible calls a different spirit. Later in the text, that's what God says Caleb has. He has a different spirit. He's not like everyone else. That's a wonderful compliment. He stands out among those who are afraid as someone who isn't. He sees a different path. He says, "We should go do it. We should get after it." The main difference between the identifier and the solver is not what they see. It's what they do. Caleb is willing to risk. Caleb is willing to step out and lead, to be up front, not to stay in the back complaining and criticizing. He refuses to let fear take over. He refuses to settle for small, easy goals. Leaders refuse to be silent when fear is speaking the loudest. Leaders refuse to give up because something is hard. And leaders, by definition, are always in the minority. Graduates, I warn you that just about any time you want to try and accomplish something great, you're going to be outnumbered about 5-1 with people telling you why it can't happen, why it can't be done that way, why it won't work. For every one that gets a vision, you have to convince 5 who see problems, not possibilities. Caleb is the one. And in case I lead you to believe that it's easy, later in the text, they talk about stoning Caleb. Leaders take the risk. The other 10 begin to spread a false report. The word false here in Hebrew means something like an evil whisper. They work behind the scenes. They spread fear. They grumble. They complain. They whisper evil. They go tell the other Israelites, the land we went to devours the people who try to live in it. And we saw giants there. Graduates, lesson number 2 in this text, the longer you focus on your problems, the bigger they look. When self-interest and fear set our course, it is always a false report. It's always a lie. Fear is the voice that whispers to us, trying to keep us from what God has for us. That part of the story ends with the words, we seem like grasshoppers to ourselves and to them. Small, insignificant bugs. If the world sees you that way, so be it. Never see yourself that way. They see themselves, after all God has done for them, the miracles, the promises, the protection, they see themselves as small and helpless, as things that don't even matter and that have no chance. And here, I think, is where the story gets really interesting. Caleb and Joshua push back again. And if you don't read it carefully, this can seem like an argument between we can and we can't. This can look like a clash between optimism and pessimism. And we can't has we can outnumbered. But, and graduates, this is important. This isn't a story about the power of positive thinking. This isn't a believe in yourself and you can do anything kind of story. We've given you too many of those already. I sat at the graduation yesterday listening to some of that. You can do anything you set your mind to. You can accomplish whatever you dream of. Well, you can. None of us can. We all have limits. We all have faults. We all have struggles. And probably while we were busy telling you to believe in yourselves, we should have also been telling you, believe in something bigger than yourself. Find something more important than yourself. The spies and all of Israel say, we can't do it. And you expect Caleb and Joshua to say, yes, we can. But they don't. What they say is, if the Lord is pleased with us, we are able. Do not be afraid. And this is what gets missed. It's not I can or I can't. What Caleb remembers is that God can. Life is not about our strength, our accomplishments, what school we went to, our job, our money, our test scores. It's not about what we can do, but what God can do through us. God's vision is bigger than our abilities. That's the whole point of the story. God wants us to rely on Him for our success and rarely calls us to things we can do on our own. Beyond we can or we can't is God can. That's the point of the story, and that, friends, is a game changer. That's a world changer. So graduates, lesson three, and this might be the hardest, it's not really about us. It's about God. What we think of as too big of a challenge or problem, what we want to do, that's not the main thing. The best stories are God's stories. And they're lived out by people who see beyond the challenges that frighten us. People with a different spirit. People who refuse to be grasshoppers and will not forget that God is with us. People willing to step out and risk leadership and call others to what God makes possible. A different spirit. People who know that God is with us. And beyond all of our kens and can'ts, God is able. Graduates, we pray for you that your stories will be God's stories. That you will follow God's way for you beyond the petty concerns of problem identifiers and the small visions of risk-free accomplishments that don't really change anything. We pray instead that you will have a different spirit. A spirit of leadership. Pioneer. Truth teller. That you will live the life of Caleb and Joshua. If God is pleased with us, we are able. Do not be afraid. We pray for you, graduates, that you will keep God in the equation. And that ultimately, you will seek what He can do through you. Congratulations and blessings from your family, your friends, and may we all keep the faith together. Amen.